Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
On WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. We'll put our little records away and be back to share with you some conversations with community friends on the morning show. The news this hour is sponsored by the Phoenix Center Family Fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Firefighters on standby, ready to attack any new wildfires. People are being urged to keep their emergency alerts turned on at all times as the winds pick up. Here's ABC News Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee with more on the forecast.
This morning there will be a peak, and again tomorrow morning, a little lull between the two. It's not constant wind, but when they come and they push 60, 70 mile per hour gusts, and that makes fire behavior explosive. This is not something that happens all that often. That's why they're putting that PDS red flag warning through tomorrow.
PDS, possible destructive situation. Former special counsel Jack Smith's report on Donald Trump's actions after the 2020 election has been released. It alleges the president-elect made up claims about fraud to pressure state officials into rejecting lawful votes. Smith also says he feels they would have gotten a conviction if Trump had not won a second term. Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth will face questions on Capitol Hill in about an hour. This is ABC News. There might be a whole lot of rats running around Houston high on drugs. And ABC's Jim Ryan says it's all being traced back to police evidence.
Around 1.2 million pieces of evidence, some related to cases resolved long ago, are held in a Houston Police Department facility, including
400,000 pounds of marijuana.
Houston Mayor John Whitmire.
The rats are the only ones enjoying it.
Thousands of defense lawyers have been put on notice about a rat infestation that could affect their clients. In the meantime, officials are stepping up their efforts to destroy evidence, including drugs related to pre-2015 cases. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The Commerce Department rolling out a new proposal today to ban Russian or Chinese software or hardware in cars. The rule citing national security concerns. The ban's taking effect in the next few years. If you like driving, Planters has a job opening. You need to be somebody to drive the Nutmobile. It pays $45,000 a year. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish. Fish is served from 4 to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world, and after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best, open at 11 a.m. Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
Your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is brought to you by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and find out how you can buy a house without needing 20% down.
Temps around the mid-teens today with mostly sunny and cold conditions. Northwest winds at 7 to 15. Lots of stars and very cold tonight, a low of negative 1. For Wednesday, sunny early, then increasing clouds and breezy, a high of 22. Also for Thursday, 36. And Friday, 42 degrees.
Rock Solid Forming, your authorized Simons dealer on County X Blue River, family owned and operated since 1992, offers steel ply forms, ties, hardware, form release, concrete steelers, and a large rental fleet of steel ply for all of your concrete wall forming needs. Rock Solid Forming strives to be number one in getting it to you when you need it and believes that personal service makes the difference. Call 608-536-3700. Open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Weekend calls will be answered if possible. Rock Solid Forming, great products and the best customer service. Service 536-3700.
The Wisconsin Supper Club tradition has found new life at Kickapoo Creekside. From mouth-watering steaks and fresh seafood to a large salad bar and perfectly crafted old fashions, Kickapoo Creekside offers a truly exceptional dining experience. Choose from the menu or indulge in the chef's daily special. Dine inside or enjoy your meal outside in the fresh air. Visit Kickapoo Creekside at 827 West Kickapoo Street in Reedstown. Open Wednesdays through Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays starting at 11. Come and taste the tradition.
Jones Chevrolet in Richland Center is your local family-owned award-winning dealership for over a century. We always have one of the largest selections of trucks in Southwest Wisconsin. JonesChev.com is updated daily with specials on new and pre-owned vehicles. We even have a secure credit application online to help us help you faster. Bad credit? Good news, we can help. Our special finance manager, Melanie, has some custom finance options and is eager to help. Jones Chevrolet, Richland Center, your Chevy truck headquarters. Chevy, together let's drive.
Hauling, fencing, hunting, as sure as real work requires breaking a sweat, John Deere Gator utility vehicles work as tough and play as hard as you do. Find your Gator at Hillsboro Equipment, because you don't need just any side-by-side. You need a cargo box that performs under stress and extreme conditions, and an engine that hustles with or without a full load in the back. Run with us on a Gator UTV from Hillsboro Equipment, Boston Equipment, or Slama's Lawn and Sport.
Welcome to Richland Family Restaurant Studios, where great music and good times meet.
Our friends from Riverdale are on the morning show today with us here on WRCO. It's great to have you along as we have you some community conversation for you today. In fact, Mr. Jeffrey Campbell, Riverdale District Administrator, is here, along with Jessica Hudson, third grade teacher, and Stacy Troxell, a junior high and high school counselor. We'll talk about what they do on a typical day. And we're going to start with Jeff, though, as we talk a little bit about what's going on in the Riverdale District. Jeff, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is the referendum that's coming up in the spring.
Little piece on that. We talked last time about the resolution just passing through the school board and how we're going to, last night I gave the board kind of an update of a plan of action and how we're going to get the information out. Once again, our resolution is going to look at a little bit less than what we had asked for the previous referendum. And so we're looking at about $5 million over a span of 5 years for the operational phase. A little bit, about $767,000 for the first 2 years, and then it goes up to about $1.115 for the remaining 3 years, around those numbers. And so last night at the board, I kind of gave an update of how I'm going to go about getting the information out. I'm going to look at a little bit more of approach of getting out to places. And instead of I'll still have the organizational meetings where I just have them in the gym and people are welcome to come from the community in each of the communities. But I'm also going to be getting out to the municipalities a little bit more, giving some presentations to those municipalities, some of the larger ones within our district that have the largest voting population. And then also, getting out to organizations and things within the within the community and spreading that information, kind of the reason why we're going to referendum and the amount and the details of it, but also just, to see that this is a big support for our kids, and that's going to be the main push. We want to keep the great things that we have going on. You'll hear about from two people that brought along with me today that will talk about some of the great things that they do in their school, and I think any of the shows that we've had, it's been a focus on the kids. But I also want to be visible at a lot of the events, looking in the next couple months about handing out pamphlets and things at different events that we have, sporting events, music, concerts, just things that people can pick up real quick and read and have some information about it. Our website is up and active already, has been since after the pass of the resolution in December. So off the Riverdale webpage, there's a referendum 2025 that you can select. And it has all of the information that I'll be presenting at the number of different places I'll be at, and also be creating some videos that I'll post out to the public too, just some short videos that will kind of explain some of those things that are on that website in more detail. One thing we did put in this time around was there's kind of a question part. So if anybody in the community has a question that they would like to ask, they want to ask it anonymously, or they want to put their name to it and I can personally get back to them, we have a Google form on there that they just click on, fill out the question, send it in. It heads right to me, and then we'll also add it to our FAQ page if it's necessary, just our frequently asked questions that we've added to since the last referendum. And then, they'll either get a response response from me or a response, you know, overall that I will give to them just based off, you know, the questions they have. Some people don't like to ask them within large groups. So, and if usually if one person has it, there's a number of people they've talked to and maybe they have the same question. So I urge the community to go to that FAQ page and at least check out our website. And if you do have those questions, to use that form. But you also can always call me or email me those questions too. Don't have to go that route. Readily available at the district office. Couple other things we're hoping to, you know, we'll push a little bit through social media. We'll say, hey, there's a video update. Go check out the webpage on our Facebook page. We won't post a lot of information right on our Facebook page, but we'll direct you to our website. That way we kind of keep that Facebook page more for the things that are happening within the school on a day-to-day basis and keep the focus there on that where we can keep the referendum information on that website. Other than that, you know, just look for those, you know, those meeting dates. We'll try to get something out in the mail as far as a flyer goes to all of our community members. And, you know, just look for those meeting dates. And, you know, I just urge the community to reach out if you have questions. And we're hoping hoping for, you know, a good outcome this time around and to help the kids here at Riverdale.
When you talked about the videos, Jeff, are they testimonials or what kind of videos do you foresee?
The videos right now they see, I'm going to do a couple of them on location so that some of the people can kind of see some of the different aspects of our district and just kind of talking about, you know, the reasoning why we're asking for what we're asking. You know, we want to keep things going within our district. So we'll kind of show some of the places within our district that, you know, really our kids have the advantage of. And we want to make sure that those things are continually there for our kids. And so kind of doing some of those videos on location. We'll also, we're going to look at possibly having some people that have reached out to support that. We can also look into, you know, the possibility of those kind of videos and that too. But mine will be short, just kind of explaining what we want to do and trying to do them in different places throughout the district that maybe a lot of people don't realize that we have and that they can kind of see the in and outs of the district.
The dollar amount that you propose for the referendum, Jeff, does that involve some cuts already? I mean, are you kind of trying to whittle some things down already?
We have, yeah. We've made quite a bit of changes within our district wherever we can, you know, and that's the biggest thing. We're kind of at a point now where the cuts are really going to start to cut into the staff and the people that make a difference within our district. And that's something we don't want to have to go down to, but we have already eliminated one full teaching position, never rehired it within the last 2 years. Paraprofessional positions, we continue to kind of cut back on those positions and also, you know, in our other departments like our maintenance and our food service and transportation. We are at kind of the point of where we've cut as much as we really can. If we've got to cut more, like I mentioned to our elementary staff, it's going to cut pretty drastically into our programming. If we don't pass a referendum, I did give some information and it's on our website and I'll put that as part of my presentation. We are looking at four positions being cut from our schools. And that's when you start to talk about that, you don't want to be, you know, it's a negative thing to discuss, but I think it's a reality of where we stand right now. And when you start to talk about four positions, that's a lot of people that now that's going to move into bigger class sizes. It's going to give less opportunities for our students in the district. But I think this time around, I think we need to make it clear that, you know, that the help's needed from the community and that we really want to keep our school doing what we've done in the past.
Well, it's all about the kids and the quality of education, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think the quality of education we give to our kids at Riverdale is, you know, we pride ourselves in the quality that we give. I mean, there's two people sitting here today that will talk that dedicate numerous hours outside of the school day doing their roles within their you know, within the district. And it's, you know, it's the behind the scenes things that we see a lot that maybe not other people do, that these people are putting in their own time and their own money, you know, their free time and their own money into their classrooms because they want a great situation for the kids. And I don't think in education, if you're not in it very long, if you don't enjoy kids, and that's the number one priority, and that's what we want to give them, something when they leave Riverdale, they're proud to leave here, and they look back on the positive experiences they've had.
I know you have some new staff members, but a lot of your staff members have a lot of longevity, and I think you have to be proud of that as well.
Definitely. I think that's something we take great pride in at Riverdale. Our turnover is not, we don't have a large turnover. I think this year we had the large turnover in the administration due to a couple retirements. And that was like, you know, it kind of took people by shock kind of right away because we usually don't have that very often. And, you know, within our staff, and it's a great, great thing that we take a lot of pride in. And we're happy. We want to keep our staff here that we have because we're seeing results. And that's the other thing. I mean, the passage of the referendum will help continue to be competitive in salaries and benefits, because with the education field, it's a competitive environment now. The number of staff members and the number of teachers out there has dwindled drastically since COVID, really. It's really taken down, and before that, it started to drop quite a bit. So we want to make sure that we're keeping the best people that we possibly can within our district. And, you know, other districts want those people. So we got to make sure that our staff is, you know, we're stocked with some of the best that we have around. And I feel like we do right now. We do a good job of treating our staff well. And I think that's what keeps them at Riverdale and continues the great education that we provide the kids.
Most districts are talking about a little bit of declining enrollment, but how do the numbers look for Riverdale over the course of the next 10 years or so?
We've declined a little bit with enrollment. It varies. It's like last year our 4K was almost 60 kids, and this year we're at 30. So it varies from year to year. We've got a small graduating class this year heading out, but larger ones coming through in the next couple years. Like I told the board and kept told the community, I said it's not, you know, you can kind of take that 30 of a 4K for a year or two, but as you start, they start to get back to back to back, you don't get those bigger classes to kind of balance that out. That's when you really start to see a drop in enrollment. So we're down about 20 students this past year with our third Friday count, which was expected because we had a larger class graduate out and we had a small 4K class come on in. This year it's a little bit smaller class, so we can absorb a little bit smaller and stay kind of where we're at this year. But if we continue to see that, then you're going to see a little decline in enrollment, which most districts, as you mentioned, do have right now. We're trying very hard to decrease our open enrollment out and in. We gained another student in that aspect since the beginning of the school year, so that's good to see. And we don't have a big discrepancy in that area. We've really closed that gap quite a bit. I think we're at a difference of about 20 right now, more going out than in. And a lot of those students have never set foot in our district. We're a large district land-wise, as we're scattered out over four counties, which people that are on the edge of our district are closer to another district, so they're going to head there if they work there or closer that way. So, you know, that's an area that we'll continue to try to drive students in. And with our programming, we want to make sure that we're keeping that up too, so we can be a valuable asset to students maybe outside our district also.
Semester must be going to end here pretty soon, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah, we're flying by right now. So we have a little bit different week next week. Our finals start on Friday for our high school students, and then that will carry over to Tuesday. We don't have school on Monday to observe Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And then Wednesday's kind of a wrap-up day for everything. Thursday, we're off for a professional development day for our staff. And then Friday is the beginning of, so next Friday is the beginning of our second semester. So it's, it's picking up quickly. And we'll be halfway through the year and already in and hardly any snow outside. So it's been a good thing. Kids are still in a good mood with that. So they're preparing for those snow days, they think, in February. They keep asking. And I said, no, we're doing really well right now. But it's nice to see. We've got an event this weekend that our student council will put on. It used to be our snowball dance, but instead this year they're doing like a winter activity day. It's like a winter dance and activity. There'll be a DJ from 7 to 11 Saturday night, and there'll be games, food, prizes, just kind of a way to get the kids together. It was something that our student council advisor, Mindy Cradwell, kind of worked with the student body and said, you know, what do you want? Do you want to dance or some? And the kids responded with more of an activity-like experience, but still have the DJ going. So that'll be fun as kind of a way to wind down the semester and get kick-started with second semester.
Indeed. Yeah, you haven't been calling me here in the mornings here. The mornings, the winter's been going well here.
No, so. we better knock on wood on that. It's going to be a stretch, I'm afraid, coming up.
I think so, too.
We'll yeah.
But you mentioned the big land mass that Riverdale covers, though. Mm-hmm. There's so many variables on those snowy mornings, aren't there?
Yeah, there definitely are. Our transportation directors this year with Pete Wagner, kind of coming in to kind of shadow Pat Clark this year. They've been kind of tag teaming that, but they do a great job getting out in the morning and checking different areas, and they'll ask me if I need to go check an area if it's necessary, and they know the spots that, you know, if these spots aren't really able to travel, we're not going to be able to go on time or maybe even go to school. So they know those areas. They do a great job. Pat's done this for 40 plus years and just has a knowledge of every single road in the entire district and knows those areas that we need to keep an eye on. So yeah, we haven't had to test that out much this year, and hopefully maybe not in the future as we roll here towards the end of January.
All right. We'll come back to you, Jeff. We have more to discuss there in terms of administration, but we're going to move across the room, talk to Jessica Hudson, who's a third grade teacher in the Riverdale District. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
Great to have you in here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your story of how you became a teacher.
So I'm not originally from this area. I'm originally from Beaver Dam, and met my husband and decided to move to Muscadet. But when I first met him, I was already teaching at Mendota Mental Health Institute. At the time that I was hired there, there was a full functioning high school as well as four elementary classrooms. So I started teaching there, and we moved to Muscadet, and I commuted for 13 years. I was one of those odd people that by the time I was in fifth grade, I knew that I wanted to be a teacher. And it was because I had a great teacher that influenced me. And I had her for both fifth and sixth grade. And she solidified that that's the career that I wanted to be in. And then after being at Mendota for 14 years, a job opening came up at Riverdale. And so I applied. It wasn't on my docket to switch jobs, and I applied and then was offered the job, and so now I've been at Riverdale for 14 years.
Wow, and you commuted.
I did.
That's dedication.
I did.
Yeah, every day.
Yep.
When you look at third grade, is that a fun age to be teaching?
That is my favorite grade. That is the grade I actually student taught in Holman when I went to college. And it's that grade where you can expect more, there's more responsibility, but you can also be goofy and have fun. And I get up every morning with the kids and we do our brain breaks and our activities to get started for the day. And I don't feel like I'm this weird person still doing that with third graders.
Tell us about a typical day and how it goes.
Well, it's very busy. We have a lot that we try to get in a day. We're trying to fit in as much reading and math, our main goals, but then as well as social studies and science. We have lots of standards that we have to meet for that. But we still teach cursive, which a lot of people think is like, I didn't know that anyone still taught that. But we do, as our third grade team, we do teach cursive. You could go into any of the third grade rooms and they'd be very similar. We're all a cohesive team and we meet regularly and we are doing a lot of the exact same things from classroom to classroom.
Teaching cursive, and I'm glad you said that because I've been adamant for a long time.
Yes.
It's like, how are you supposed to sign your name?
Correct.
When you get older, right?
Yep. Students don't enjoy it because it's hard. And then once they start learning it, they realize that, wow, I can really write much faster and neater.
Mm-hmm.
So their printing might not look great, but once they learn cursive, then they do such a great job that we just continue doing it.
How many third grade teachers do you have at Riverdale?
We have three.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle Gunlaw and I have taught together the whole time that I've been at Riverdale, so 14 years. And then Sarah Johnson started out as my student teacher. And this is her third year in third grade. Prior to that, she taught fourth grade at Riverdale.
Real family atmosphere.
Correct.
Among the staff, isn't there?
Yep. We are more like a family than just coworkers, I would say.
I've been there when the Riverdale Community Foundation gives out all of its awards, and has your room benefited from some of the foundation
Absolutely.
Awards?
Absolutely. Usually every year, each of us puts in an application, and we've gotten Scholastic News magazines every year. We've gotten lots of awesome flexible seating for our classrooms. We've gotten chair pouches because our desks are not big enough to hold all our textbooks. We've also all gotten whiteboard tables that the students can write on for learning. We've gotten lots of organizational tools, stand-up desks. Most of the time when we put an application in. The foundation has been fantastic with making sure that we get that. It makes me think of the meme about a government-funded classroom. You walk in, it's just desks. And if you walk into a foundation-funded classroom, you have all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, most definitely. Scholastic News, is that kind of like the old weekly reader that
yes.
we used to have?
Yep, okay. And we did. They do. There's also a Time for Kids. We felt that the Scholastic News was a little more age-appropriate for our students. The reading level was a little easier for us to do, and they really have improved the online piece and with some awesome videos, so kids really get to see different videos from places around the world and places that they might not ever get to experience. So it's been wonderful to have that every year.
There's been a big push here lately to better the reading of, yes. of youngsters, too. Are you yep. involved in some programs there, some things?
We have a great reading curriculum, and then this year there's some new testing things that we have to, our reading specialists have to take care of. But the biggest push that we have as third grade teachers is that we recommend that you read every night with your kids, and life is busy, but that has to be a priority.
You mentioned desks, too. Are there still the Phil Knees in the classroom that have stuff sticking out and papers coming out the
they
sides?
They sure do.
Okay, yeah. You got to do a desk
Absolutely.
Cleaning?
Absolutely. We have a desk fairy comes every once in a while, and either you get ticketed or you get a prize. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So there's incentive for
there
them to
is.
Keep their desk clean.
Yep, and I don't know who the desk fairy is, so they just pop in every once in a while.
I've got a good idea, I think. But so looking at the rest of the year, so it's going to be second semester already then? Do you do some things in the second semester?
Like- yep. We have, we'll have our field trips, and then we have, as third graders, we are, it's our first year for the forward exam testing, so that's a big deal. We just finished our second winter assessment for them, and now it's the real big push, and the motto we use now is that you're future fourth graders, so the expectation has risen, and we do lots of things regarding responsibility that they have to get ready for fourth grade, because they will need to do more than what they've already done.
Is that when the statewide testing, is it fourth grade that the statewide testing hits then?
It well, it's third grade, fourth grade, but it starts in third grade as their very first year of state testing.
Okay, all right. And then so that's coming up?
That will be coming up in April for us.
Okay. So do you do some things to prepare for that? And
we
for that?
Review, and then we just talk about making sure what our expectations are and that you'd put forth your best effort, and although you might not think that this matters, it really does matter, and so we talk about having value in what you do and just hinting that you have to make sure you do your best job.
You've been there long enough now where I'm guessing you get invited to a lot of graduation parties.
I sure do, and that's okay. Food is great when I don't have to cook.
That's awesome. But it's nice, I'm sure, and rewarding to see where these students wind up, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, and that's why I stay involved in working the book or taking tickets at sporting events, because now that my children are all graduated, I like to see my students as they become young adults.
Awesome. We'll come back and talk. We've kept Stacy Troxel quiet for a while. We're going to come back and talk with her and more from Jeff Campbell and Jessica Hudson of Riverdale in just a little bit when the morning show continues.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The calendar brings a change of seasons, so does life. I am Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. We all have a season that we like best and one that is our least favorite. In life, there are also seasons to celebrate and seasons to dread. All of us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service are committed to serving you during life's difficult seasons so you can look forward to life's brighter days. Our door is always open and your questions are always welcome at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and nothing says I love you like Sawyer Sweets delicious Valentine's cookies. Order your custom cookies today to ensure delivery just in time for Valentine's. Call Amber at 920-763-4714. Show your love for your sweetie with Amber's Sweets. Sweet treats for your special someone.
I have good news for gluten-free and dairy-free shoppers. Hi, this is Dwayne from Whitaker's Market, and we have allergen-friendly products at prices that won't break the bank. We receive new shipments every week, so there are new options every time you come. For dairy-free and gluten-free, think Whitaker's Market, 1001 Water Avenue, Hillsboro. Open 9 to 5 weekdays, 9 to 3 Saturdays, and follow us on Facebook to see our daily ads.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your very first day. Apply in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Interviews and tours are available at 1024 East Madison Street in Spring Green. Join the Cardinal CG team today and be a part of the future of residential glass innovation.
Consider the big picture of agriculture and the weather outlook with experts Dr. Gary Schnitke and Eric Snodgrass during Compeer Financial's free Crop Insurance Spring Update webinars. Find more details and register at compeer.com. Leave feeling empowered to build a strong risk management plan for whatever the growing season brings. Learn more and register for the January 16th and February 27th webinars at compeer.com.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Welcome back to our morning show on WRCO Radio. Next up, we talk to another Riverdale staff member in the studio with us today, Stacy Troxell, who's with junior high and high school counseling. Good morning, Stacy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
For those that don't know, a little insight, you were on the airwaves of WRCO many years ago.
I was about 33, 34 years ago, yes, when I attended the UW-Richland campus here.
Yep. Part-time work and any funny stories, anything you remember from that or
not? Oh, gosh, there's just so many. When I started, even though I grew up not so far away in Boscobel, I didn't know some of the names of some of the local towns, and so I did pronounce Gotham as Gotham and Wonwalk until I was quickly corrected.
That's typical.
Wonwalk and Gotham. So,
sure.
When I started working at Riverdale, I felt back at home.
Sure, back at home. So tell us about a typical day for you, or is there a typical day?
There is not, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to, that I was interested in this career, because I didn't know if I could teach. I knew I wanted to work with kids. I love stepping into a school every day. It just fills my soul. But I didn't know if I could remember If I taught three sections of something, what did I tell them already? You know, doing things over again, I wanted something where it changes, and I definitely did get that. So each day for me is very different depending on the needs of the day.
So do you work on scholarships and getting students in order for those?
Or? Absolutely, yep. This is we're ramping up on really busy scholarship time. Tomorrow we have Greg Zimmerman coming to speak to our seniors during advisory to remind them of a scholarship. The foundation here in Richland is kept going after the campus closed, and that's when students just really start applying, hopefully weekly, if not daily. They're spending some time on that. So our community is unbelievable as far as the giving. That I'm always amazed every year how much our kids get.
It's like a full-time job keeping track of everything and all the deadlines, I'm sure.
It is a lot. Yep. You have to be very organized in order to keep up with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just part of it. And then you're working on scheduling for the current students who will be back in the fall then too, right?
Correct. Yep. So we're wrapping up on, as I was sitting here waiting to be on, I had emails from students to change their schedule for second semester. We're making appointments. So once we get all of that settled and started next week, then we're hitting the ground hard on making the request for the following year. And I can go through that a little bit if you want.
Sure, go ahead.
So every year I spend at least two class periods with our eighth graders explaining how high school works, all the ins and outs as much as I can. And the first class period, I just get them familiar with the process of requesting their schedules for the next year. And I answer any questions they might have. And then once they're comfortable, then we start putting in requests. In grades 9 through 12, I spend a class period with them and kind of refresh their memories. And then what they do is they go into their Skyward account and they put in the classes that they would like to request for the following year. Every school does it a little bit different, but I like that we do that because it gives the students, what we try to do is the most students get what they want and they need for their career interests and goals. So they have worked with their career teachers starting in sixth grade. They have career classes that they are working in what's called Zello. It's a career program that the state uses. And they plan out what they need to get them to their future goals. We've gone a little bit away from what do you want to do and you have to pick your career right now, but we teach them the process. So if they're interested in an agriculture area, here are all the options and here are the classes that will help you get there. So we teach the kids that. They use all their tools and then they put in their requests. And then once they have all their requests in, once they've started the process, I send a Skyward message to parents and guardians, and then they know what's going on. They have a few weeks to help their child kind of make good choices, hopefully, for their future. And the portal's open until, and then once that closes, I sit with my building principal and we look at the numbers for the year and see how many sections of each class that we would need. And we really tailor that schedule around to fit the needs of the students. We do our best. It's like a giant puzzle. The next part is pretty time consuming.
I bet.
I sit down and try to make sure the kids all get what they want and still make the teacher schedules work together. And it is like a giant puzzle. Work closely with the principal to make sure that we're covering everything we need. And then once we're done, I go back into the classrooms and the students actually put their schedules together. So they have a lot of ownership and responsibility, and it gives them some confidence and like they know what to do to get to where they want to go.
Do you still have a career fair at Riverdale?
We have been having, so about every other year we've been doing a career fair, yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll be coming up. I don't know if this is the year or not. I think you had one last year, if I remember right.
Yeah, our CTE staff puts that on, so I believe it was last year, right, Mr. Campbell? Yep. Yeah.
What about sources of strength? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sources of strength is a really great program we've been involved in for about, I think, three, 4 years now. First, I have to give a shout out to Katrina Johnson. She's actually an alumni from Riverdale. and she's a therapist in the North Crawford School District area. And she just saw, she found out about Sources of Strength, and she saw this need for Southwest Wisconsin, and she has really worked hard, knocking down doors and writing grants and making it possible for us to get this national program. It's based out of Colorado. It's formerly known as a suicide prevention program, but it's so much more than that. They tell this famous, just to maybe put it all into focus, there's a famous parable about a person who lived near a river, and one day they saw someone in the river, so they jumped in and saved that person. And walking the next day, saw two people in the river. And so this community just rallied, and they started getting volunteers, and they put up a watchtower, and they kept pulling people out of the river. And one day, the original walker started walking upstream, and the villagers said, "Where are you going? What are you doing? We need you right here. See all these people in the river that need help." And this person said, "Well, I'm going to go see why they're falling in the river in the first place." So that was kind of the whole basis of why Sources got started, the founder, to help prevent issues before they start, instead of trying to pick up the pieces after, sometimes too late, and you miss kids. So Sources revolves around your strengths, just what it says. The strengths that we talk about are family supports, positive friends, mentors, healthy activities, generosity, spirituality, physical health, and mental health. And what we teach these adult advisors and the kids is that when you are dealing with something difficult, you can rely on your strengths, and that one of those strengths or two might be stronger at that time in your life, and that's how you can get through whatever hard time you're dealing with. So it's really a positive, fun approach, and kids are really responding well to it. It's a little bit of a divergence from the typical kind of scare and shock and a version of suicide prevention that we were finding was just not being as effective. And so we still, of course, address needs and watch for warning signs and do all of those things, but we're now doing more of the proactive upstream approach. So it's been really fun. It's also, we play games at every meeting, and that's because that's part of relationship building, which is really the key to all of it, right?
Yes, so, it is. Yeah. So you do that with each age group, or how do you set
up? Yeah,
so
we have a junior high Sources of Strength group and then a high school Sources of Strength group. So, yeah, we do that. We do a training each year within our school. And then for the last 4 years, I believe, there's a regional retreat that Katrina kind of organizes, writes the grants for, and we probably have 7 or 8 schools that get together. It's been at UW-Platteville the last few years. This year it will be in Lancaster in February, and all the high schools get together, and we do this year's theme is hope. So we're really looking forward to that.
It's much needed. I think it always has been, but I think especially now post-COVID and screen time and all of those things come into play, right?
Yeah, and it's been really fun to approach it in a way that all of those things that I mentioned, students have access to. So if you don't feel like you have, we talk about each one of them. So some people have blood-related families. So for family support, for example, they have the family that they are related to, but they also have chosen family. And some people, we talk about that. Your family doesn't have to necessarily be the ones that are blood related to you. You might have a family that steps in. You might have a friend's family that you rely on. You know, things like that where you at Riverdale, that fits really well because I feel like we're a family. So,
and a small school, I think you can kind of be watchful of maybe some red flags, can't you?
Absolutely. Yep. We are very fortunate. We have had issues that have come up or concerns, our kids are really good about letting us know, you know, I'm worried about this person, or someone said something that you should check into. And that has really helped us be proactive and prevent situations that unfortunately other schools deal with when they don't have people coming forward. So,
what do you love most about your job, Stacey?
I do love that it changes all the time, but I love helping kids who maybe come in without a lot of confidence or direction and don't know what they want to do with their lives. And when that light bulb turns on and all of a sudden they get this passion, and seeing that take off is just beyond rewarding.
Lots of success stories, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, good to have you in here. And
thank you.
For what you do. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Again, you always bring in some home run hitters here from the Riverdale staff, Jeff.
Yeah, we do. It's difficult. I try to focus on a couple of the main themes we have within our district, and it's you get so many options. It's like you try to map it out and get as many people as you can in here to kind of showcase what we're doing.
Yeah, well, good job. Let's talk about state testing that recently was
yeah,
happening.
This is big testing season, so this is a big testing kind of this stretch here in the next couple months. We're preparing kids. We've actually started with a little bit with the new Act 20 that's in place with the reading programming and the state statute for that. We started actually this week with our screener and our diagnostic for that. So that's a first-time testing that they've had to do in our kindergarten through, actually our 4K through third grade has to do that for, some new. We've always tested it, just now you have to use a state approved program and they have to write a reading plan for all students in those grades. And there's even more coming up policy wise by 2027 that you need to have fulfilled. But Lynn Terrell and Rachel McKay are heading that within our district, and they're doing a great job first time around working out the kinks. Came very prepared for the testing, and our kids are starting in on that. And then following that, we'll get into our forward testing, which will be for our grades 3 through actually up through about 10th grade. They take a social studies one up there. So that will follow this testing. And that's our main testing for the state. The fourth, eighth, and 10th graders take a multitude of tests with that. But really, fourth and eighth really get into that forward pretty deep, have a couple extra subjects that they need to test. But all those students starting in third grade will be forward tested, and we use a lot of that to determine areas that we need to continue to improve on in our teaching. And we're doing something a little bit different this year. The last couple years during ACT, then our juniors take the ACT. So all students as juniors are required to take the ACT for the last couple years right at the school. And then students can go retake it at different parts if they wish to kind of work on that score a little bit. But every year we take it in March, and we have a virtual day for our 7th through 10th graders and our 12th graders on that day to just make that a testing environment within the school that's the most relaxed we possibly can for our students, and it's worked out really well when we've done that the last couple years. And we've got to use so many different people to proctor different rooms for that, because the security of those testing, of the ACT testing, is very precise, and we need to make sure there's people covering different things and watching different things that go on during the testing, so that our staff is really tied up. So having that virtual day has allowed us to kind of have all the staff available for the different rooms that will be doing the ACT. And then this year we're going to try something a little bit different. We're going to have a virtual day for our 11th and 12th graders on the day that we give the pre-ACT to our 9th and 10th graders and start our forward testing for our 7th and 8th graders in that building. So it's going to help us get through the testing without having to use so many days to test and disrupt instruction throughout the year. We're kind of always going back and forth scheduling wise on testing, but we don't want the whole couple months to be just focused on testing, which we've done in the past. So we're going to try this way this coming year and see how that goes a little bit.
With the ACT testing, you know, it used to be you had to go somewhere to get it done and, you know, be all nervous and get there early in the morning. And
I'm guessing
the testing is better at school, isn't it?
It is. They're comfortable there. Yeah. They know the people proctoring it. They're in their environment. And the last couple of years, I mean, it was all voluntary before, where you'd have to go You know, now the state has made it where every kid tests, which does a little, you know, one of two things. It kind of drops your scores a little bit because everybody is testing now instead of just the students that maybe were just the college bound ones. But it also helps some of those kids that were like, maybe I'm not, you know, maybe this isn't the path. I'm not going to really take the ACT. Now they take it, and maybe that score opens up opportunities that maybe they didn't think were there in the past. So it's both ways. I think it's important. It's more important to some kids than others because of the pathway that they're going to go on, and we understand that. So we really prepare them the best we can, try to encourage them to do their best, because you don't want to close any doors early on that you necessarily don't know that might be your pathway later on.
Will there be any school board races coming up in the spring?
No, we have three members that will run unopposed coming up in the spring. Actually, four, I think, we have unopposed that will run. So we're thankful that they're willing to jump back in. We've got a supportive school board, always have. It's a strong part of our district, too, is just the people on that board and have served on that board in the past are just, they're stand-up individuals that always put the kids first and want to see what's best for the kids. So we've got a strong board. They're willing to speak up when they don't agree with situations, and we work out a solution for it. So, and they're very approachable within the community. You see them at events, you see them around, and that's important, too, because they're elected by the, you know, the constituents within the district.
You mentioned, you talked about the referendum with the board. The meeting was last night. Anything else you wanted to mention as far as the recap from the meeting?
No, we pretty much, you know, just one thing we did do this past year was a holiday shop with our, and Sources of Strength was involved in that. Kelly Schaefer spearheaded along with our RNJHS Chieftain Coffee Club, which we had Chelsea Clark in here who organizes that, and they had some numbers last night, 1,700 gifts for all the elementary students and their families. So each student was able to go ahead and pick out a gift for five people within their family. Took a great undertaking, but the neat thing was when you walked in that room, it was just full of stuff and from donations that people had made. And then we did ask for a small monetary donation if they could from each student. But we were able to supply gifts for, you know, up to five for every student. And then having them come home, and including my son, who had, you know, was part of that as an elementary student, you know, just the how excited they were. It might have been a dollar item, but it was the thought that really counted. And they're so excited for you to open that up and just what you got. And he was telling me what he got the other people that he was, you know, buying for. So it was neat to see it. It involved our junior high and high school students. They came over and helped out. It was just a group effort that really brought a lot of cheer and just positivity to the district right before the break.
Winter Carnival is coming up from the foundation. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on this month, but that's a big event in the district.
It really is. The foundation has done exceptional work for, as Jessica talked about, just in third grade, the things that they put in for and help supply the classroom and make the classroom a better place for our kids. They've allowed us the ability to do that because our classroom budgets, they're just not very high. You know, that's another way we've been fiscally responsible, where we don't spend a lot of extra money within our classroom budgets. We want to try to cut back in that area. So there's not a lot that teachers are able to get for their students. So the foundation has stepped forward for the number of years. I know Greg will have that and has the stats every year, how long they've been in existence. And they just... This is one of their big fundraisers. The carnival's a hit for all of our students within our community and the school district and actually neighboring districts that come to our carnival. It's a great day of fun and games, and the staff is signs up to work it along with students, and it's just a way that we can raise money that goes right back into the kids. And so I think it's an exciting day. It's picked up momentum and is well attended for the 11-3 that they hosted. So it'll be good to have Greg on here. He can get into a number of other things that the foundation is doing for the district.
Lots of good food, I know there.
Oh, yeah. Too, yeah, so. Definitely. Definitely.
Jessica, was there anything else that you wanted to add this morning that I didn't ask you?
No, I think you asked everything great.
Okay, sounds good. What makes you want to get up and go to work every day?
The idea that I am an influence in my students' life and that I am making a difference, a positive difference.
Oh, that's great. What about you? Stacey, I guess I kind of ask you that, but certainly, you know, never a dull moment.
Yeah, never a dull moment. There was one thing I wanted to just mention briefly about the change. A lot of people ask me about why is it school counselor now instead of guidance counselor? And that's really been a push from the American School Counselor Association in the last few years. It's they see guidance as kind of an outdated term. And I also think sometimes people have a bad maybe had a bad experience with guidance counselors years ago that had a much different focus. They were more reactive. They serviced some kids, but not everybody. They weren't really involved in school leadership. They kind of worked on their own little silo. And school counselors were trying to kind of change that perception because we are more proactive, as we were talking about with like sources of strength. Our program is for everyone. Our impact is measured more on achievement, not just like how you feel, but like we use data, attendance, behavior data, things like that to drive our program. We are a big part of school improvement and leadership teams. And so sometimes we're the bridge between staff and administration if there are issues. So we really, I think, serve as kind of that glue or that, you know, to try to just create the cohesion of a district. So it's just it's a change, not a huge deal, but it has been a big push for the last 10 years in the state of Wisconsin for sure, but all over the United States to try and change that perception of who we are as a piece of the district.
I know you get a lot of information out there to students if they are in a situation, you know, like suicide
Absolutely.
Prevention lines
yeah.
and things like that.
Resources and communication are a huge mm-hmm. part. You know, I've learned like over 26 years of doing this, year 11 at Riverdale, communication is key. And sometimes it can be that simple of clearing up a communication between a student and a teacher or a student and a parent. Where they see it as this major issue in their lives, and I listen and try to find those pieces of, oh, here's what I think that other person heard that you didn't mean, and we can clear that up without making it more complicated.
Sometimes just a misunderstanding. Then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think that happens way more than people realize, yeah.
Well, thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Well, you bet. Jeff, the winter sports and all the extracurriculars are well underway here, and boy, we're getting in about, less than a month from postseason for wrestling, too, right?
Yeah, you start to think about it early February, that will start, and then the girls and boys will follow after, and hopefully the weather continues to cooperate this way. It's making it a lot easier on the ADs, and you got plenty of dates now to reschedule things if we all of a sudden get hit with something.
Good participation for winter sports this year?
We have, yeah. It's been off to a good start, and even our club, our powerlifting club, has had good participation this year. They held their first meet. They had a meet canceled, so they held one right the first weekend after a small little meet where our kids got the opportunity just to compete and learn about the program if it was your first year, and they've got about three more meets coming up here, so they're about the only group that hasn't participated. Otherwise, everybody else has been getting 10, 11 events in already, and we're in full swing.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, thanks for coming in today.
You bet. Appreciate it, as always.
We'll see you real soon in February.
Yes.
Those months fly by.
They sure do.
Good
yes.
deal. Jeff Campbell joining us, Riverdale District Administrator, along with Jessica Hudson, third grade teacher, and Stacey Troxell, school counselor from Riverdale, here on The Morning Show.
From eco-friendly thermostats to energy-efficient lighting systems for your business, technology is making everything smarter. Good thing your Touchstone Energy Cooperative can help you make smarter work harder. Today, there are more ways than ever to make your world more energy efficient, and we can show you how. Take the next step to go electric and put the power of your co-op to work for you.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Cohasson Bus Richland Center is currently seeking applicants for full-time daily school bus routes. Starting wage is $20.50 per hour. Paid training is available along with a $1,500 sign-on bonus. It's an excellent opportunity for college students, retirees, and stay-at-home parents. If you enjoy working with children and have a positive attitude, this is an excellent career for you. To apply, call 647-4446 or stop by the Richland Center Cohasson Terminal off Highway 14.
We
We appreciate you joining us for the morning show get-together today on WRCO. Tomorrow we'll talk a little trivia. That's right, Community Players will be putting on a big trivia event, and we look forward to that. Later on this week, we'll talk to members of the Ithaca school staff, and we'll wrap it up here on Friday, talking about the Richland District, some things coming up for that, some other special features here as well on the morning show. Thanks for joining us.
Rockwell Automation at Richland Center would like you to know that if you are a part of a nonprofit organization or 501(c) and have opportunities for Rockwell employees to partake in, please let them know. The team is looking for volunteering and donation opportunities within the surrounding communities. If you would like to partner with them or have any questions, please call 608-647-9400. They look forward to extending their community involvement. Rockwell Automation, ingrained in the community, dedicated to making a difference.
Landowners, your timber property is a valuable asset. Contact Meister Log and Lumber Company to help you manage that asset. Rely on Meister Log and Lumber Company to help you manage your property's timber value for now and years to come. They've been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's forest management staff will help you meet your timber's potential. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log and Lumber, 608-434-4413.
Sleepy Hollow offers Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC certified parts and service for your vehicle. Just drive right in. No appointment needed. That's right, just drive right in for oil changes and maintenance at Sleepy Hollow. Can't make it to the dealership? We offer mobile service and free pickup and delivery. Need a courtesy car? We've got you covered. 24-hour towing, collision center, GM certified service, medium-duty truck shop, plus auto glass, bed liners, and more. At Sleepy Hollow, we'll take care of you. That's Sleepy Hollow Chevy Buick GMC on Viroqua's north side.
Save 15% on paint all month long at All American Do It Center. That's right. Now through January 31st, save 15% on gallons and quarts of Best Look and Valspar paint. Restrictions may apply. See store for details. Now's a great time to update your home's interior with a